SROA Soundboard, a podcast for radiation oncology administrators. I'm Tammy McCausland. Today we're joined by Patty Sapanaro. Patty is Associate Chair for Administration at UNC Radiation Oncology in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Welcome, Patty.
Thank you, Tammy. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. I'd like to start with asking you why you gave the presentation Mentored and Being Mentored at SROA's annual meeting.
I may not have realized this at the time, but as I was preparing this talk, I was thinking about the idea of moving on from my current position. And once I started thinking down along those lines, it became clear that it's a perfect time in my career to be really looking back and thinking about ways that I can reach out and touch the future.
Okay. And you're about to retire in a few months. And looking back retrospectively, how would you say mentorship has helped you in your career?
That's a great question. And in fact, there are two different answers to that, or two different perspectives on it. One is that, of course, I have benefited from people who have mentored me on many, many different topics, many, many different roles and situations and settings. That may be the more obvious one. But what I would also say is that the people I have mentored have given me tremendous benefits because they've helped me learn more about myself. They've helped me learn more about the topic at hand. And of course, you know, working together with them is, as I said, it's a way to touch the future.
Can you clarify what you mean by how it's a way to touch the future?
It has become clear to me that mentoring someone is an important way to develop relationship. That may seem obvious. But in addition to that, it is a very important way to develop succession planning in a department and in a role. And part of that succession planning is really finding a way to work with someone that enhances their loyalty to the organization. And I would also say loyalty to the brand, if you're looking at it from a strictly business point of view.
Now, are you currently mentoring someone for succession planning for the role that you're going to be vacating?
I am devising the, if you will, sort of curriculum, a limited curriculum for that person. That person hasn't been selected yet, so I'm doing a lot of thinking about that. But my hospital colleague or counterpart has recently decided to retire, and that position is filled. So I'm looking a little more broadly than just my position, trying to be sure that I can do everything I can to enhance the future of the department a little more broadly.
That's great. Do you think that happens very often, where someone is retiring and they're thinking about succession planning?
I think it does happen, but I think it may happen in a limited fashion. So what I mean by that is, I think whenever someone leaves, the tendency is to think, oh, how will we replace that person? So you tend to look sometimes in a limited way at what were the things that person did for us, you know, and how do we replace that? But really, if you consider more broadly that someone leaving, maybe especially if it's a longtime, very capable person, it opens an opportunity for all kinds of wonderful things to come in. So it may be that a new person comes in with a fresh perspective and sees things in a really different way. It may be that a new person comes in, but they've been already working either with the department or in that role for a while. So they are going to have ideas already about, you know, what they know about how the work happens and how things might be different. So I think that looking at it as an opportunity is a broader way of thinking, and it enhances the ability to really make positive change.
Those are all great points. Does any mentor of yours stand out in particular to you, someone who was particularly helpful?
I would say there are mentors who have helped me with broad ways of thinking and changing my mindset. And in fact, the current chair of our department, Dr. Larry Marks, has definitely served in that role for me, because at every opportunity he has challenged me to think about how my plans are linked with the system more broadly. In our case, it's UNC healthcare system, the whole state. And also in terms of not having limited vision, but thinking more broadly in terms of how does this meet our quality improvement mindset goals or our safety improvement mindset goals. And so it's always about not just the task at hand, but really looking more broadly at how things fit in the system and how they fit for going forward. So that's the really sort of broad perspective that I have very much appreciated in my time in this job. But in addition to that, sometimes those very, very specific people who have answered my call to say, yikes, I'm stuck in the middle of, you know, this situation, or I'm going into a budget meeting in 2 days and I don't have a handle on this thing. And I would say that two SROA friends who have really helped me in that very specific kind of task or mentoring have been Sharda Coley at Rutgers and Jana Grinke. So I have benefited both from people who have mentored me, you know, ongoing, broadly, but then also very specifically.
It's great that you're giving different examples of, you know, I mean, you touched on different kinds of mentors, both in a professional capacity, but some of it maybe seems formal and some of it seems informal. And that's something that you mentioned in your talk. Can you elaborate a little bit about the differences between formal mentorship and maybe informal mentorship?
Sure. And I think a great example of formal mentorship is something that a lot of institutions, large entities are doing these days, which is some kind of leadership academy, or, you know, like a leadership training that happens over a period of time, maybe an academic year or a 12-month period. And what I have found is that those opportunities are really great for working with people who work in our institution whose paths I would never cross otherwise, because they're not in oncology, they're not even, you know, certainly not in our department. And so being able to get to know some of the up-and-coming leaders is a really important thing, I think, both for the organization to take advantage of experienced leaders, but also to be cultivating these new leaders. So in that situation, when I've been assigned to mentor someone, it usually is a person who's very eager. They're in that leadership program because someone has matched them up with their interests and what the organization can offer to them as leaders. And in those cases, the more formal elements of a mentoring process take place. Like, for example, we typically devise some kind of charter. I'm using that term kind of loosely, but actually in some sense formally, because we actually write down what are the expectations, what do I expect to get out of it, what does the person who's being mentored expect. In that situation, I think the person being mentored really, really has to take the lead, and they have to take responsibility for knowing what they want, for understanding themselves enough to know what they want, and to really pin down some things like, specifically, when are we going to meet? What happens if something comes up and we can't meet? And what are going to be our deliverables at the other side of this relationship? So that's what I mean by formal mentoring. And I think the informal mentoring, which is, of course, the flip side of that, are those situations where you already potentially have relationships with someone. And so you already know who you might turn to on this topic or that topic. And I would say, too, that the informal mentoring is what used to have happen a lot more naturally when we were all on site together. It takes a little more effort if you have people who are working hybrid or virtual or all remote work schedules. Then, you know, it just is different. And so you have to think ahead about, you know, how you're going to make that work. But we know that so many of these things are based on relationship, and even cultivating relationships, of course, is impacted by more people working remotely.
You mentioned the charter, and it was one of my questions for you. Why is it important to have a charter?
The most important reason is, like it's always important to set goals, but the same principles apply. And I would say the overarching reason is because if you have some goals that you worked on together, then you are much more clear of what both people are wanting to get out of this or needing to get out of it. Now, I don't think that means that you're limiting the mentoring relationship in any significant way, but it definitely does mean that I, as a mentor, am not going down a path that's not really what that person needs and wants. And at the same time, as a mentor, it helps me understand better where this person is in terms of their work experience, their career goals, and, you know, really what they want to achieve. So it helps me be better at finding the way to enhance the relationship. And, you know, sometimes people haven't thought about this a whole lot before they come into a relationship. But if you are an experienced person who is mentoring someone in your organization, then it is respectful to the person who is experienced. It's respectful of their time to be sure that we're on the same page together from the get-go.
Those are all great points. You had also suggested that the mentor ask the mentee about why they want to be mentored. It kind of maybe fits in with the charter, but why is that important that the mentor ask the mentee what they want?
Well, again, it gets back to that point of has the person being mentored really thought, like how much have they thought about what they really want? And I find that with some probing questions, even they may come in thinking they know what they want. And I have found that with some probing questions, either the focus will shift, or in one situation where I was mentoring a person, we learned that really he was not interested in being in the leadership program, and he was not interested really in sort of advancing on the career ladder. He was very, very happy where he was, and even being assigned to this whole leadership program, while he was learning a lot, but it really was not his goal. It was a supervisor's goal for him. So that was very important that we were able to work together to even help him have the language that he needed to go back to the supervisor and be more clear about what he wanted for his career.
And did the outcome work favorably for him in that case once he recognized that he didn't really want to be a leader, even though his supervisor thought he should be?
Yes, yes. So I think it was important that we had some mentoring sessions around how do you communicate this with your boss? Because in his position, he was a lab technician and, you know, very specialized work. So it wasn't like he could just, you know, skip over to another department. It was what he felt passionate about was doing that lab work. And so being able to work with him through time to help him explain that to his boss was very important. And I felt really good about that mentoring experience because it didn't feel at all like we failed. It felt like we came to a very different understanding for him, you know, that was going to help him in his work.
That's wonderful. You mentioned probing questions can be helpful. Mm-hmm. So do you have some examples of probing questions that mentors could ask mentees?
Sure. And really, I think they're the kinds of questions that we all should be considering, you know, in our work. Really at whatever level we are, what level of experience and authority, let's say, or position. And I would say that they're not just questions that are about RADoS. They're questions, you know, that cross the boundaries of the specific focus of work. So, for example, talking to someone about where do they see themselves a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, exploring their educational level and current status to see if there are opportunities where they might want to advance in order to achieve another goal, potentially. So those are the kinds of questions where I think you start to help a person look around at the work they're doing, not just like looking forward and saying, I want to be the boss, you know, but they're looking around to really see who they are and how they fit in their current role and potentially in another role within that department or practice or organization.
Why is it important for the mentee to take the lead rather than the mentor?
I think the main reason, in my way of thinking, is it is the way to be respectful of the person whose advice you're seeking, whose counsel you're seeking, who has the years of experience and hopefully, you know, has really thought through a number of important considerations and has looked at his or her own career thoughtfully and intentionally to see it as more than just a series of stepping stones, you know, to get them where they want to be. I often laughingly joke with the people who are in positions like mine and say, you know, at what point when you were a little child did you say, I want to grow up to be a radiation oncology administrator? Have yet to hear anyone who said, oh, yes, that's my life's desire, you know, since I was a little kid. So I think we have the opportunity to say, let's explore my path that got me here. Let's explore your path that has gotten you here, because there are fascinating developments and stories behind each one of us in the positions we've achieved.
Yeah, my uncle once said, if you ask people about their career, they'll start out saying something like, it's kind of funny how I got here, regardless of what they studied. So I think that often happens, and you've alluded to that as well. Question, do mentorship relationships sometimes fail? And if they do, why do you think that is?
I suppose they must fail. I have not been part of one that I felt was really what I would categorize as a failure. So I would guess that if there is, you know, a failed mentoring relationship, it probably happens more in that formal setting, interestingly enough, because, you know, I talked about the charter and how that, you know, can bring you to the same page and can help make it more successful. But I could see where if someone is formally assigned to spend time with another person and potentially they just don't see eye to eye on, you know, like much of anything, or if the personalities clash in a way that it doesn't work, potentially that's a way in which a mentoring relationship might fail. And the reason I say more in a formal setting is because I think if it's an informal arrangement, then, you know, they just don't call back, or, you know, you just don't get another email, or it just sort of naturally comes to an end. That would be my guess. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why when I'm interviewing people, one of my questions is always, tell me about a people challenge you've had and how you worked through it, you know, because that's a key to the work that we do, and including mentoring other people.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. What key things would you like mentors to keep in mind as they undertake mentoring someone?
I would start with being really sure that you have done the work yourself to think through why you've done some key steps in your career and in the work that you've done, what made you choose those options. And the good ones, you know, and the not so good ones, but, you know, being intentional and thoughtful about why you've done what you've done is a starting point. I think also then, of course, knowing the audience is the way I describe it, but knowing the person who wants to be mentored, critically important. I would think about how this relationship fits in some sort of system context, whether it's in your own organization or, for example, through SROA, how might it be linking up with broader goals of the entity? And I do love this idea that mentoring is not only good succession planning, but building brand loyalty. And that, I think, is a key to developing leaders who will stay with us And what a wonderful thing to watch someone's career over time blossom and develop.
Definitely. And what should mentees remember when seeking out and engaging in mentorship?
Starts with, again, knowing yourself and what it is that you're interested in, which does not presume, by the way, that you can know everything, you know, and totally that what you start, the ideas you start out with in a mentoring relationship are the same ideas that you end up with. We should allow for things to develop and evolve over that relationship. But I do think at least being clear as a starting point about what you are looking for and what you're wanting, because that then again is respectful of the other person's time and energy and focus. Because a good mentor doesn't only think about this mentoring relationship when they're in that on that call together or that WebEx together. They are thinking about this person when they see something that sparks a thought about something that could be useful. So I think starting with what you think you want to know about or what you think you want this relationship to be about, a great starting point. And then basics about how you work with another person. If you say you're going to have a meeting at 2, be there at 5 minutes before 2. You know, log in, sign on, be at their office. So I think some of those basic rules of etiquette are really important to show respect for the person whose experience you're going to really benefit from.
And as you wind down your career and you look forward to the next chapter, what parting advice would you have for our listeners?
That's the toughest question of all, Tammy. I think it's a willingness to be open to whatever comes next. So, and that's true all through a career, and then it's also true, like, you know, taking the next big step. Because in my case, I don't know if I'm going to end up doing something really fun that adds value to my current organization. Like, I might be a greeter at the front desk, or I might go to work at the gym where I worked out, or I might seek a position that sort of pulls all of my experience together that's, you know, a few hours a week where I could add some value. But again, that has started for me with thinking, what's my number one goal? And my number one goal is to add value wherever I'm planted.
That's awesome. It's really been a pleasure to talk to you today, and I think you've given great advice for our listeners of all ages. So thank you very much, and I appreciate it again.
All right. Thank you for reaching out.
Thank you for listening to SROA Soundboard. We hope you will join us again. For more information, visit www.sroa.org.